Here we go. Okay. Lest I forget. So, we spent one full year studying the language. And because we feel that language and culture, it's just like a pair of chopsticks. Alright? They go hand in hand. You can't understand the culture completely if you do not know the language. For example, you sang the song. You know, Brother Gopal tried to fit that Thai word. And praise the Lord, you pronounce it correctly, which means to go tell. If there's any wrong pronunciation, it will be you are crazy. Bai bo means to go tell. Ba bo means you are crazy. Okay, so you should, we did it correctly, so it's good. And of course, missionaries will tell you all kinds of mistakes that they make and the embarrassment that we have to endure. I once gave a church the permission to correct me if I mispronounce. I only got through 5 minutes of my sermon. And I learned my mistake. So, and I worked with Mr. Santa Claus, David Spites, for about a year or so in Ontarbury Baptist Church. I was involved in the restructuring the church administration and also church debt retirement, trained a core group of 12 men, and was involved in Bible teaching. And I'm so glad they understood what I said, because I was just fresh out of language school. They endured my tie. And in 2001 to 2004, we took over a church that was without a pastor in Saimine. I think maybe some of you have been there. So the church grew from a handful to 40 to 50 in 3 years, trained up a guy by the name of Pastor Noom, some of you might know him, and handed the leadership of the church to him in November 2004 and began praying and seeking the Lord's direction. God, where do you want us to go? Thinking that it will still be within the perimeter of Saimine, so that we can continue with that partnership with Pastor Noom. But as we all know, on December 26, 2004, the Indian Ocean tsunami hit several countries, and one of them was the western coast of Thailand. So we started immediate relief work, received a lot of donation, went down and just started relief work in this village called Ban Nam Kim, and started the groundwork of establishing a non-religious and non-government and non-profit organization called the New Light Foundation. And the project that is under the New Light Foundation is called the Community Development Center, as you heard just now, or CDC. So while the construction was going on, we engaged ourselves in relief work as well as building relationship with the villagers through teaching English as a volunteer teacher. And on April, in April 2006, the CDC was officially open. And since then to now, we have several ministries and projects. As Hannah has correctly pointed out, education, the three-pronged approach, education, social and community services, and social enterprise. So under that, we have the Manor Kitchen, partially sponsored by Manor Worldwide, which is from America, and we are also supported by many, many individuals. We have a Christian school that provides education program for children of the migrant family, primarily from Myanmar. After school care for the Thai kids, YPOT, which is a youth potential development program, started in 2008, and over 100 teenagers and young people have benefited from this project. I do not have time to go through the details of each project, but these are some of the things that we do. So we also have skill development and social enterprise programs to help raise funds so that we can become self-supporting. And we host overseas volunteers each year, and majority of them are not Christians. So they are from like SMU, NTU, NUS, secondary schools. We even have a group from Bahrain, about 30 Muslims came to us and got to hear the gospel. And they just stood there and listened. And it's a great opportunity. So what is New Light Foundation about? Or we call it the New Light Ministries. It exists to establish a church planting platform. As you know, Thailand is predominantly Buddhist. Over 95% of the population worship Buddha or embrace Buddhism as a lifestyle. So with this three-prong approach, we're able to draw them to our center. But today, everybody in the village call our center a church. Okay, because they say only Christians will do this. You are a church. So of course we do not want to hide our identity. We never hide our identity. But we knew that if we had put up a cross, put up a building that looked like a church or have a name church on it, it will deter them from coming in. Like what we have seen in many, many churches in our area. But today, not only are they calling our place a church, over hundreds of people will walk through our doors every day to hear and get a chance to hear the gospel. So our ministry exists to establish a church planting platform by creating an awareness of the gospel in a community. So not just in Ban Nam Khem, but everywhere we go, create an awareness of the gospel through education, social activities, and skill development programs. So what have we done so far in terms of church planting? Yeah, here we go. Oh. Are we there? Yes. Okay, here we go. So we have a New Light Baptist Church, the first church. This is kind of sort of like the model church for people who get saved. We train them, we show them how a church is organized. So I take them under my wing, teach them the Bible, go through Bible studies, go to church training, and then hand it over to them. And then I'll go, take a team with me, go to another community, through the context that we have, you know, coming through the doors, coming to our programs, go to another community, repeat. Alright? So it's actually a strategy that we go through, which I hope I will have a chance to explain them in detail when I have another opportunity. We also have outreach in three villages, started in 2012. So these are pictures of all those Bible studies that we have. One of them is in a chicken farm, a sawmill that processes timber made from rubber trees. Okay, and one of them is also in, and this one was in another plantation, like an oil palm plantation. So it's been still going on. And leadership training, we emphasize a lot of that training of local, as you have heard through the the ministries of the missionaries that you support, be it the Burdines, the Homers, Freemans, the Valdeses, the Montes. We want to duplicate ourselves. We want to give birth to new churches, new mission churches. So what about now? Some people think that we have returned to Singapore. Yes and no. Half of my family is in Singapore while I travel. So we've never taken a furlough since we started our missions journey. So last year we decided it's time to take a furlough. Well, thanks to this little girl who needs to go to school, my wife felt that homeschool would not work for her. And so she's now studying in a school very close by, Keng Cheng School. And for Pola, she's still very involved in the ministry. Of course, the biggest ministry right now is this girl, Hannah Goh. And she, thank God for cloud technology, we are able to have access to our accounts in Thailand, and she is our internal auditor. And she's also helping out in our home church, Singapore Bible Baptist Church Children Ministry. They are currently going through a full revamp of the ministry, and my wife is the advisor for that. For me, I shuttle between Singapore and Thailand. The flight is okay. It's the drive from the airport to the village, which is longer than the flight itself. Okay, that tires you out. But I do enjoy what I'm doing, because I know that my wife and my daughter are in good hands. The education is important. At the same time, it allows the nationals to exercise and their leadership potential. And currently, in 2017, we are undergoing a restructuring of our foundation, building up a new team, and also forming a new board. And while I'm in Singapore, so half my time is in, I'm currently spending half a week in Thailand, the other half in Singapore. While I'm in Singapore, I'm mentoring a group of four young people in the youth and young adults ministry in our home church. So, do pray for us. Alright. If you have any questions, please ask me on Sunday. Okay, I think we will have more time. Alright, let's move on. I decided to use your theme. I hope I got the theme correctly. Local Church, Global Vision. And I thank God for... Huh?
Mission.
Global...
Mission.
Or in Thailand, we... Thailand, we say same thing but different. Well, it's a new title. So, I learned a lot from Pastor Crocker's sermon last night, and I kind of thought about it. So, is this slogan, Local Church Global Mission, just a program or a command? A program or a command? So, just ignore the vision and just visualize it as mission, okay? It's gonna be here the whole night. It's mission. Let's consider these questions first. I think it's very vital for us to take a good, honest look at these three questions before answering the question, local church global mission, command, or program or command. Number one, are you a Christian or a follower of Christ? Trick question. Are you a Christian or a follower of Christ? Okay? Answer that in your mind, or if you want to write it down somewhere. Okay, I give you 30 seconds. You don't have to answer out loud. Just ask yourself, okay? Number two, is Local Church Global Vision a church program or a biblical command? Trick question. Finally, should our approach to world evangelism be mission-minded or missional? Okay, think about it. Should we be mission-minded or missional? Google missional. No. It's like, you know, intentional, right? Mission, no. Okay, got it? I flunked my English, by the way. No, I used to fail my English. Alright, let's answer this question. I'm not going to give you the answer, but I'm going to give you some points and scripture references to help you answer that question. So, Acts 4:13 tells us, and they took, this if you go read the scripture, it was Peter being arrested for healing. Peter and John healed a lame man, and they were arrested, and they stood before the religious leader. They were grilled, and but they stood firm. And then in chapter 4, the Bible tells us, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Don't you wish someone would say that of you? That they took notice of you and said, you had been with Jesus. Just like the villagers said of our program, you guys got to be Christian. Only Christians will do this kind of stuff. How do they come to that conclusion? By the grace of God. Alright, now if you go to your Bible program, you know, your application, and key in the word Christian or Christians, it's found 3 times in the New Testament, and it's quoted, that word is mentioned in the context of it being a religion. Alright, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian, referring to a religion practiced by this group of people. Alright? The word follower or followers or disciples are found over 260 times in the New Testament. So do you see the emphasis here? So are you a Christian or are you a follower? Ravi, how many of you have read Ravi Zacharias' book?
Mm-hmm.
Alright, great, great Christian apologist. I follow him closely, follow him on his podcast, read a few of his books. The Graham Weaver is a great recommendation if you are interested in the great plan of God. He said, he was asked this question, and this was his reply. If there is one apologetic struggle I live with, it is this question. Why is it that so many people who talk of a supernatural transformation show so little of the transformed life? That's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw that question, I was like, ouch. We praise Jesus, we thank God that we have been saved from eternal condemnation. We praise God that we are now the sons of God. We are so thankful for that. But how much of that transformation do we actually exhibit or live out, for that matter? In Luke chapter 4 verse 46, and by the way, let me just stop there. Today is kind of like an intro to what I'm going to teach on Sunday during the Sunday school hours. So it's a lot of question, something for you to ponder over, you know, tomorrow and Saturday. And then on Sunday during Sunday school hour, I'll dwell on the practical stuff, okay? So in Luke chapter 6 verse 46, it tells us, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That was Jesus telling the people who was following him. Greg Preachard, in his article A Global Vision of the Gospel, said, somewhere along the way of teaching the simple gospel, we have created a cheap grace where being Jesus' disciple is optional.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you think being, you say you are a Christian, but the second question that I want to ask is, are you a follower of Christ? Do you think being a disciple of Christ is optional? Now, don't have to answer out loud. Ask yourself. We'll talk about this on Sunday, alright? Do you think it's optional? If you say no, then back to Ravi's statement. Do you show that transformed life? And you say it's optional, then what about Luke chapter 6 verse 46? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Trick question, right? Next. I think Christians have allowed the categories and priorities of our modern lifestyle and value system to infiltrate our thinking. What do I mean by that? I'm going to show you a chart this Sunday, but basically this is how we have been living our life. We are entrapped in a certain lifestyle. I often, when I'm in Thailand, the volunteers will come and say, "Oh, Jason, how I envy you. I wish I can live this lifestyle. That just let go of everything, you know, just come and serve people and help these, you know, underprivileged kids and so on and so forth." And I look at him and say, "So why not?" "Oh, you don't understand, you know, the lifestyle in Singapore is different," and so they go, you know, and they start telling me what they have, what they own, the struggle that they go through in their career and all this, and I sympathize with them. But the truth is, that is how our society, the papers that we read each day, I subscribe to China News Asia today and some of the other newspaper that we have. And now living in Singapore half the time, it's kind of like, wow. I love the lifestyle in Thailand. Okay? Where the closest shopping center is almost 3 hours away. Praise the Lord. Okay? And when we make our monthly trip, we are not in Phuket, by the way. Alright? But Phuket is the nearest airport that we go to, and then I drive about 2 hours to the village. So the nearest shopping center, as I mentioned, is about 3 hours away. So when we were still living in Thailand, my wife would and I would make a monthly trip to Phuket to buy our groceries, okay, and stock it up. And I cannot wait to get out of Phuket every time I go down there, because I love the fact that we do not have to deal with choices and variety in the village. You only have one brand. Okay, that's it. This is the soap you get. Okay, and that's it. So, and then coming back, just a leisure stroll along the heartland provision shops. I'm not even talking about ION and Plaza Singapura. Just walking down this, you know, corridor, coming to Heritage Baptist Church, you have Japan Home. It's like, I mean, they have studied the signs of display. Okay, with that bold letters, the yellow signboard, and just like, come in. You need me. And then you're stuck in there. And, you know, anyways. So that's the lifestyle we are in. And I have to actually tell myself, no, I'm used to the lifestyle in Thailand. I can continue with that lifestyle in Thailand while I'm still in Singapore. And so we decided that's the way we will live. Okay? However, we have had conversations with, for example, don't have to talk about other people, just my siblings, who review to me that there are certain lifestyle that they have to subscribe to, and therefore they need X amount of money to live their lifestyle. I'm not judging them, I'm just stating the fact. Okay? So now we talk about your commitment to the Lord's ministry. Alright? Is that part of your lifestyle? Or is that your lifestyle? Is that part of your lifestyle? Or should that be your lifestyle? Follower or Christian? Follower of Christ or a Christian? Be not, Romans 12:2, we're very familiar with this portion of scripture. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, we are born again. Someone shared the gospel with us, and I just preached a message in our youth ministry in Singapore Bible Baptist Church, and I say, why did you get saved? I asked them. So we go through the gospel presentation that they are exposed to, and all of them agreed. Well, not all. Most of them agreed that they got saved because they do not want to go to hell. Think about that. They got saved because they do not want to go to hell. Where is Jesus in there? Hello? Yeah. I just want to go to hell. But your relationship with Christ? Say, I never really thought about that. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. And they stop there. And why is there no transformed life? Maybe, just maybe, they're not saved. Because salvation is not about escaping hell so that you can go to heaven. It's what happens right now here. Your relationship with Christ. Do you have Christ? Do you embrace Him as your Savior and Lord? Christian or follower? Is your mind being transformed or renewed? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, as I end this question, think about this. It's not about you. And you can take that short phrase and expand it in a million ways. When you come to a decision, it's not about me. What does God want me to do? Where is God in this? If Christianity or this whole thing about Christ has become your lifestyle, just like the Buddhist. Buddhism is not just a religion to them, it's a lifestyle. Why do you think it's so hard to convert them from Buddhism to Christianity? It's impossible. You don't convert them. Because if you can convert them from Buddhism to Christianity, just like currency, I can convert or exchange Singapore currency to Thai currency, but tomorrow I can exchange Thai currency back to the Singapore currency, dollar. It has to be a transformation, not just a conversion. So, your conversion, let's not just stop at conversion. Pray that God will transform you. That Christianity is not just a religion. Your relationship with Christ does not just stop at the point there. Thank you, Lord, for saving me that I do not have to go to hell. And that's it. And you live your life as if you are not saved. No relationship with Christ at all. Let's move on to the second question very quickly. Is local church global mission a church program or biblical command? Very quickly, Matthew 24 verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Now, let me just stop there. Many times missionaries get into the business of saving souls. I realized very quickly that that's none of my business. I'm there to preach. It's the Holy Spirit and God that saves.
That's right.
But if you're so, I'm not judging, it's just my own experience, when I focus on I want to save as many souls as I can, eventually become a number game, eventually become how good a salesman I can be to get you to say that prayer. And oh, you're safe. Okay, move on to the next target. I've closed and clinched that sale. But our job is to preach and let God do the conversion or saving. Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go into all the world, Mark 16, and preach the gospel to every creature. And I don't think I want to dwell too much on this because your pastor have mentioned this quite a bit. But let me just go through these passages in the book of Luke, or the Gospel of Luke, where it talks about Christ. In Luke chapter 2, the proclamation of Christ's birth, these are the words being used in that proclamation. To all people, to word man, of all people, light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. It covers every ground, every people group. Luke chapter 10, Jesus intentionally brought in the example of the Good Samaritan, when the Samaritans are the enemies of the Jews. And the Lord just threw that in and shocked everybody, right? And Luke chapter 15, Jesus dined with sinners. The Pharisees don't, the religious leaders, they don't. And then we see the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin. And we talk about, we have sheep that is not of this fold, that I must go and bring them in. Luke 24, repentance and remission of sins should be preached among all nations. Do you see the word preach repeated several times? So our responsibility as a follower of Christ is to declare, proclaim, and preach the gospel. Regardless of situations, difficulties, hindrances. When we first went to the village that was devastated by the tsunami, there was nothing.
Right.
Everything was decimated. The thing that was lingering in the air, hovering in the air, was the stench from the dead bodies. And everything else was just debris and, you know, where do you begin? But the Lord say, preach. And that's what we continue to do till today. And then in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, we've covered that, unto the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the world. Acts 2:5, men out of every nation. I think you get the drift. It's not just here. God has commissioned the church to accomplish a very, very big project. Back to the first question. If you're a follower of Christ, this is your business. It's not just a program. It is our business. It's something God has empowered and given us to do. And finally, should our approach to world evangelism be mission-minded or missional? I've actually preached this sermon in Heritage Baptist just several years ago, so I'm just going to bring this chart, this table, to see the comparison. Alright, if you're mission-minded, some people say it's just semantics, but I think if you take a good close look, we can see a difference. Mission-minded, when you say a church is mission-minded or a person is mission-minded, the emphasis is on the sending and supporting. But being missional, when you just like the word intentional or missional, it emphasizes of you being the missionary, you doing the mission work, rather than it being the job of some professionals like this guy over here. You've gone through Bible school, ordained, commissioned, and kind of look holy. Okay. Let him do it. And he's young. So, mission-minded has the idea of representative, okay? But missional, all of you are involved. The whole entire church. It's not just about, okay, we have put our money in the faith promise, and you know the church board or the pastor have recommended so and so to be, you know, part of the mission family of our church, and okay, that's it. But when you are part of it, and there are so many ways that you can be part of it, to think, people ask me, you know. By the way, when you receive an invitation to teach in a mission class, That means you have earned enough wrinkles and crow feet or whatever you want to call that, and then you now qualify to teach. But I'm still young. So I ask, you know, people ask me the question, so how do you know it's that God has called you to Thailand? And I've often wondered about that question. I remember, you know, when Pastor Eddie was still the pastor there, when, you know, he initiated the Faith Promise program, and then missionaries would come, and praise God for David Spikes, who preached a sermon that, you know, God used the sermon to lay upon my heart to surrender my life as a missionary. But even prior to that, I have always been taught in Sunday school or in the sermons that we are to give ourselves wholly to God. That's it. Whether he wants to call you or wants you to be in this career or that career, I happen to be called or chosen by God to be a missionary. But I think we should all avail ourselves as followers of Christ to do whatever God wants us to do.
Sure.
I told the young people, go back and ask your mom and your parents. Because we have started to engage our young people to go home and ask their parents questions so that they will talk about spiritual things at home. Okay? So go home and tell your parents that God has called you to be full-time staff in church. And see the reaction. And the salary is only $2,000. Okay? See what's their reaction. Nobody wants their children to go full-time. Number one, it's so, the pay is so low, and the, you know, just not, no. I've put you through, you know, college. You have all that potential to be better. To be better. So I'm like, you know, not so good. So, you know, that's why I become a full-time staff. I cannot make it, you know, so I serve God. So God called those that cannot make it to serve Him. Does that make sense? But, hello, that's what the parents are telling us. Go do something. And when you are successful, make enough money. Then, that's exactly, by the way, that I was talking to someone, Hannah. I took, you know, Hannah has swim classes every Friday. So I'll sit and, you know, go for a swim and then come back up and I'll talk to some of the parents. So one of the parents, Yong Chen was his name, and Yong Chen said, so what do you do? I said, so I do this, I do that. He said, oh, so you're retired? I was like, huh? What do you mean? I mean, you must be retired and have lots of money to do this kind of thing, huh? I said, no. No, I'm not retired, but I also got no money, a lot of money. So, but that's the mentality, right? So, are you saying, parents, are you saying that God only calls them those cannot make it one, then go and serve in church? Or already gonna retrench, you know, nobody wants you anymore. Okay, I'll go work in church lah. And then, hey, we only got 2,000, just take whatever you want. Take it or leave it. Is missions an expression of just one expression of a ministry, or is missions the essence? The lifeblood, the heartbeat of the church's existence. So, think about these things. On a Sunday, I will continue and we will look at some practical stuff. Okay, thank you, Pastor.